broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
We increasingly, by the general election,
and it's just obvious we have to put our money in the same.
Hello? Yes, is this Richard?
Yes, it is.
Okay, how long has a six-year-old been missing?
The rich liberals own everything.
Holy crap.
He's a racist. I hate him.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. Every night until the aforementioned times, we take you on a journey through the looking glass of talk radio, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And coming up this hour, of course, we will conclude with a lot of the stories that we were not able to get to, a Chamber of Commerce hoax story. And we'll get into another anti-Semitic comment of some kind, of some quality, a joke that was told by, in this instance, an individual that also sings the national anthem at ball games. Maybe he's a famous guy, I don't know.
Yeah, he's like an opera singer or something.
Yeah. That's how they get to do those ball games, or opera singers. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget that you can listen to the archives on our website at philhendryshow.com. You can also access daily video streaming of the show, either live or by way of on-demand, which is a fun thing. So you can try that out. And you can listen to the live streaming audio as well, either live or on-demand here on the Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall is joining us here on the program this evening. He is the Vice President of Syndication. I guess you're in your car, David? David?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Yeah, you in your car?
Well, right now I'm in the car, yeah. I wanted to call the program tonight, and I wanted to run something by you that I have been facing in attempting to get your show placed on different affiliates around the country, and I thought this would be I think it would be illuminating. I think it would be a healthy exercise in telling people what the Phil Hendry Show is about, if we could, you know.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I've been dealing with. I talk to an awful lot of affiliates that basically say the following thing. They say that they don't know whether you're a conservative or a liberal. They don't know whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And they it's a very difficult thing for them to pin down exactly what it is your show represents philosophically. So maybe you could let me know and let your audience know, and let the prospective affiliates know.
Well, I mean, I've said on the show before that my radio program is about truth, you know.
No, I know that, but I mean, what is your political ideology?
I don't have one. I mean,
well, that's impossible.
Well, all right, it's not that I don't have one. It's just that it isn't a conservative or a liberal one. It's I like to call it free thinking.
All right, let me interrupt you. I don't mean to interrupt you, Phil, but
it's what I call free thinking, making up my mind issue by issue.
All right, let me tell you what I'm up against. The program, the radio stations that I'm talking to, they don't understand what that is. And more to the point, the audience that you're talking to, they do not have it within their they don't have it within their capability, this is between you and me, but they do not have it within their capability to understand that. You need to be either liberal or conservative.
What do you mean they don't have it within their capability?
The average intelligence of a talk radio listener is not that very high, and I know you can't really say that to people.
Now, you realize, of course, that what you're saying right now is going out over the airwaves.
I understand that, Phil, but you don't remember one of the basic rules of our business, and that is the audience's attention span is very limited.
No, but what you're saying, David, is going out right now. People are hearing you say that the average intelligence of a talk radio listener is not very high.
Yeah, I'm telling you that their attention span is so limited they won't remember what I'm saying. You watch. After the break, after the first commercial break, they're not going to remember. They're not smart enough to follow your train of thought or your worldview. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're not saying they're stupid, are you?
I'm not going to say that, but it doesn't make any difference. They're not going to remember what we're saying, so I will answer that as honestly as I can. not that they're stupid. It's that they are... They have not yet evolved, I guess, to the point where they're going to understand what you're saying. It's not that they're stupid. It's that they're not smart enough, I guess is the best way to put it.
They're not smart enough for what?
For understanding when you say, I'm not a liberal, I'm not a conservative, I am a free thinker. They don't understand that.
Is this what you're hearing from stations that you're trying to put the show on?
Yeah, I'm hearing this from a lot of these people that I got to talk to, who are, you know, either the program directors or whoever they got there. And I'll say to them, I say, we got the Phil Hendry Show. He's a free thinker. And that right there, you can hear that almost, if you've ever been in New York, you ever seen those big metal shutters that they pull down over the fruit stands? You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
That's what I hear. I hear, almost mentally hear that clank. Because to follow your earlier metaphor, the audience is like, if we want to go back to the time machine, the audience is like they're like the Eloys. They're pretty and they're carefree, but they aren't exactly, you know, mentally sharp. And so the Morlocks will come up and eat them.
You know, David, you're on the air right now. This is fascinating to me.
Right.
You're on the air right now comparing the people that are listening to us right now to the Eloys in the time machine. They're pretty and carefree, but they don't know that evil lurks below their feet and they're going to be eaten at any minute.
They don't. They claim that they do, but they don't. They don't understand that maybe what you're saying is this. They're very comfortable in the way they think, and someday they may be destroyed by it. Is that a fair way of putting your philosophy?
I would say, yeah, okay, that's fair.
All right. So if that is a fair way of putting your philosophy, then I think it's fair to say that the people that listen to the radio are almost like that Bambi creature. You know, a little deer that's taking a sip of water, and along comes maybe a mountain lion. And, you know, the next thing you know, this beautiful deer, they've opened it up and the guts are out like they have on those shows.
Oh, my God, David. You know, my whole...
Well, I hate to be graphic.
But my whole philosophy has always been, to be honest with people, I cannot honestly say that I'm a conservative if I agree with the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, but I'm a pro-choice guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know all of that. You've already explained that. The audience doesn't get it. Do you understand? They don't get it.
Well, you're saying they're not bright enough.
They're not. It isn't that, like I said, it's not that they're stupid. They're not smart enough. Now, what I find is that the program directors and the people in the radio world are also not that sharp. And rather than figure a way to promote what you do, they either want a conservative or liberal. And I'm trying to tell you, you're dealing in a world of people that are not that swift. Now, I heard what you said, and I didn't like it.
About what?
About that chromosome challenge thing. But I'll tell you one thing. If you wanted to use that phrase, a better place to use it...
Whoa, hold on. I didn't say that, okay? That was General Shaw.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought it was you that said it.
No, I did not say that. General Shaw said it.
Well, if he wanted to use a better place for that chromosomally challenged line, you got a lot of people listening to the radio right now that...
And you don't think that people are going to remember you saying what you're saying?
I'm telling you, based upon the research that we do in radio in general, the attention span of the audience is very limited. They're not going to remember me saying that any of this, so we don't need to belabor the point. I'm trying to talk to you about...
Then why are you doing this on the air, by the way?
What?
Why are you doing this on the air?
Because I thought it would be an entertaining aspect of the program to have people find out what your political philosophy is, which we still haven't been able to find out, by the way. Thank you very much. And
I told you what it is, man. You want me to put a word on it?
What about libertarian?
Oh, get out of here with that, will
you? Well, you got to call it something. If I don't have something to call it, then I've got a radio station and a bunch of listeners that don't know what the hell it is.
What about calling it...
chromosomally challenged. I'm kidding. But that, you know, at least would give me a hook.
Yeah, that's funny. How about we call it...
Oh, come on, will you? You got to have a way to call it. You got to give it something. Otherwise, the people don't understand. And you've been relying on a level of I think you've been relying on a level of intelligence that isn't out there.
I'm not relying on nothing, man. I'm relying on just telling people where it's at. That's it. That's what I'm relying on, just telling people where it's at.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so sorry to upset you, Tony Robbins. This is the real deal, huh?
Don't be sarcastic, man. I'm just trying to get by with a radio show that speaks the truth. What about truth?
No one cares. That word doesn't mean anything. You understand? That word doesn't mean anything.
Telling the truth, that doesn't mean anything.
No, because the truth is a relative thing. When you say to a guy you're going to tell him the truth, half of those people are going to say you're lying to them. When you tell somebody that you're telling them the truth, even if they like you, they're going to think it's your version of the truth, but it's going to be their truth. That's very presumptuous, Phil, to say you know the truth. Everybody knows what the truth is, and it's their truth.
Well, why don't I call it that? I have your truth.
What? Well, what does that mean?
Okay, never mind. Never mind.
I'm telling you, it's not funny. You've got an audience, and they like you, but they are not, and I want to be kind, they are not that swift, I guess is the best way to put it.
That's not what I call being kind, I'll tell you that.
We're not talking about, you know, what you think is polite. I'm telling you, the talk radio audience, right now, as it exists, as it has evolved, as it exists today in the year 2009, is a rather slow-moving mass of I mean, if you wanted to put it, they're like elevator operators or something, they're just a large mass of people with lunch buckets.
Just a bunch of dummies.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's pretty much what you're saying, man. A bunch of dummies. Don't offer them filet mignon when they'd be happy with hamburger.
Don't offer them filet mignon. What did you say?
Filet mignon.
All right, okay, well, pretty much that. Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
So don't offer them anything that's really quality. Just give them the same stuff.
Give them what this guy... Who's the guy?
Beck?
Yeah, give them that. Be a conservative, but call yourself, you know, like what Beck does, he gets George Washington and all that stuff, you know? So he's a conservative, but really what he's really a conservative, but he talks about George Washington. People like that.
Oh, that's cornball, man, with a capital C.
Yeah, really? It's cornball. Huh? That guy's made of money.
It's cornball. Cornball. Cornball? Yes.
Thanks, I can spell.
All right, I got to take a break, David, okay?
All right, well, you got to consider what I'm saying, though, honest to God. You know, you don't have to be like Beck, but be like, what about O'Reilly? He is a conservative, but he says it's a no-spin deal. See?
He's full of crap, too. He's a conservative. Everybody knows he's a conservative.
No, he ain't, because he's no spin.
He's not, but you know he's spinning.
No, I don't know. I do, but I don't. If he says he's not spinning, then he's not spinning.
All right, we'll take a break here. David G. Hall and more with him and your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong, but he's telling me that the talk radio audience ain't bright enough. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall with us, our vice president of syndication on the trials and the tribulations and travails of doing a talk show that is neither a conservative or liberal show. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, the world famous Phil Henry Show here. We're talking with David G. Hall, who's the vice president of syndication for the radio show, as well as others. And it started out as a discussion as to how to define a radio show, and I guess we're talking really about how to define my radio show, David. But I did want to make a mention. You were talking to me about a potential affiliate in South Carolina.
Yeah, no, this is a potential. They're not on board yet, but I've been talking to this one guy, and he is a big fan of yours. He understands what you do, And the reason why I brought him up is because you had just done a story about South Carolina and the Republican Party, right?
Yes, I had.
All right. And I understand it's news, and I don't want to tell you not to do it, but it had to do with those guys in South Carolina saying some anti-Jewish things. Now, the radio station in question it's a good station, but the guy that I'm talking to is a conservative, and he doesn't particularly, he made a few Jew jokes when we were talking. So,
boy.
Well, okay, boy, but what I'm saying to you is, would you not please not do that story anymore? You understand what I'm saying? And the reason why I would ask you not to do that story anymore is because if he hears it, he's obviously going to think that you've got an agenda, and he may think that you're out to be some kind of a big shot, or you think you're better than him or something like that.
Are you telling me that this guy but this radio station you want to put me on is run by a guy who's an anti-Semite?
I didn't say that, did I?
You said he made Jew jokes.
He made a couple of jokes.
Did you laugh at them?
Phil, let me tell you something. Don't get into my personality right now.
All right. So what do you want?
I'm asking you to back down on the South Carolina Jew story in case he hears it, that's all.
Oh, I see. So in other words, to get my show on a radio station that happens to be run by an anti-Semite...
Well, why don't you just say it real... Hey, to get my show on a radio... Do you feel better now, Phil? You know, you want everybody to now think that you're a big hero? Blah, 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 blah. Say it real loud. Is that what you want to do? I'm telling you the facts of life here.
No, you're telling me the facts of life about one radio station that is owned by an anti-Semite, and I'm supposed to be backing off of this story about the South Carolina chairman there who shouldn't even have a job so I can get on their station? I don't think so, man. Here is Glenn in Nashville. Glenn, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Okay, man.
Good evening. Good evening. I'm a second-time listener. Second time I've heard you two nights in a row. And my comment is this. Mr. Hall, I believe it is you're interviewing. Mr. Hall is not a very bright individual himself. I'm fairly certain, because he seems to assume that you must be either a conservative or a liberal. And the fact is that there are many people that listen to talk radio that are independents, or as you said,
that independent thing. You know what that means, being an independent. You're basically a conservative.
Why don't you let the man explain?
But I'm not a conservative on every issue. You know, I don't have to vote or think like a group of people tell me to think. Pardon me.
What issues are you not a conservative on?
Well, that would be a long, complicated conversation. We don't have time for all that. My point is,
you're really just a conservative.
You don't want to be called a conservative because
you think that means that you're just another one of these dummies. But you're a conservative. You know you are.
Why don't you let the guy explain?
Listen to me. What I am is a free thinker, because I know most of the people that are in control of the media or people in the government would like
are Jews.
To believe whatever they tell you to believe. And I'm not dumb enough to believe that. And I think people who listen to talk radio are not dumb enough to believe everything they're told. And one more thing about O'Reilly.
Do you think that the Jews run the media?
Would you let this man finish?
Television. Pardon me?
What's that? O'Reilly's the greatest thing that ever hit TV. There you go.
I didn't hear you, but whatever.
I wanted to ask you, sir, and you didn't answer my question. Do you think the media is run by Jews?
I know for a fact that the majority of it is. That's not a secret. I don't care.
All right, so you're a conservative.
I don't care what they are.
You're a conservative.
Why would that make him a conservative?
Because they're the only ones that believe that Jews still run things.
Pardon me?
All right. Okay, sir.
You're a free thinker. Yeah, that's real original. The Jews run the media.
All right, sir, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Why did you get into that?
I got that guy to admit that he thinks Jews run everything. That means he's a conservative. That means he's a Republican, see? I pinned him down.
That means he's a Republican, huh?
Yeah. All those guys think the Jews run everything.
Boy, are you... You know something, man? You need to get educated.
What do you mean I need to get educated? I'm telling you where it's at here. What did I tell you? You think everybody out there is some kind of an independent? Come on.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Joanna here in New York City. Joanna, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on tonight?
Well, first of all, Phil, as an intelligent listener, I would like
yes,
to
ma'am.
Say that I have respect for you, and I wish these
Thank
past
you.
Two people would have respect for the people who listen to you and not think that we're not intelligent.
Hold on for just a second, Joanna. Hold the line here. Hold the line. I'm going to get back to your phone call.
She won't be there. She didn't even hear you. She'll hang up.
Yeah, okay, we'll be back with David G. Hall and Joanna here on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
She's going to hang up.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
That's not what I'm saying.
All right, we're back with David G. Hall. We've got to get back to Joanna here.
No, but I just want to make the one point before you go back to the caller. We've got these small market stations. You can't keep... You got to understand, Phil, that there's a certain level of, like it's not that bad to make a Jew joke is all I'm saying. And
come on, man. It's not what the show's about.
Will you listen to me? We've got New York. We've got L.A. We've got Chicago. We've got Boston. So you don't have to keep this, kissing up to Obama stuff. We've already got those big markets. All I'm asking you to do is be a realist.
No, what you're asking me to be is some kind of a crude thinker, which, frankly, is what the talk radio spectrum is made up of these days. Here is Joanna back with us. Joanna, I'm sorry we had to take a break. Thank you, and what was on your mind?
Yes,
it's the same girl.
I'm so happy to hear you say that you're not a crude thinker, because the opinions of this man are so crude. By the way, he used the word ain't. That's how intelligent he is. And we listeners who have some intelligence.
That happens to be a word, ma'am.
We don't need to be insulted. He's insulting my intelligence. And I
am
also
telling me the truth.
I would like to May I just finish? May I also say listeners,
you're wrong. Ain't is a word.
No, it's not.
All
Go ahead, Joanna.
All listeners are not affected by race or religion. We'd like to hear something discussed without and political affiliation. We would like to hear an intelligent conversation that does not have to be controlled by those three situation.
I'm simply saying, ma'am, that the Jewish question, you can slip a few Jew jokes in, and it's not going to be a big deal.
Why do you say that, man?
It's faithful, frankly. I think one's religion is distasteful.
Wait a minute. Is this lady calling from New York?
Yes, she is.
Oh, that explains it.
One can have without insulting people's religion?
No, we don't want to insult people's religion. But I said to Mr. Henry that there's
a quote-unquote Jew joke.
So that he could get a particular... Well, you live in New York, don't you?
Insulting.
Well, being Jewish? Now, see, that's wrong.
I'm not Jewish, but why insult Jews? I don't want to listen to this.
Wait a minute. You live in New York?
Somebody who is looking for a truthful opinion.
Exactly. We're trying to find a way to cut through this stuff, you know.
By race, religion, or political affiliation.
Phil, can I just have you put the lady on hold for a minute? And we'll be right with you, Joanna.
Hold on. Yeah, hold on for just a second, Joanna. Go ahead.
Is she on hold?
Yeah.
Look, quit trying to kiss up to this old lady, okay?
I'm not an old lady.
And I just don't need you to do that. All right, take her off a hold.
Okay, we're back, Joanna.
Insist that I'm an old lady. I'm 30 years old.
I never said you were an old lady.
You did, too.
Didn't you have her on hold?
We did put her on hold, yeah.
But
that must have been someone else you were listening to, ma'am, because I didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, yes, you did, David. The fact is you did.
I'm an intelligent person, and all of what you've been saying to Phil is very insulting to him and to his listeners.
Joanna, I want to say something. If you're 30, then I'm a rabbi.
The whole point of this conversation...
Back to religion. I didn't call to discuss religion. I don't want to hear
religion.
Didn't
you call up and say that you were calling from New York, so you had a special insight into Jews?
I respect Phil, and
right.
I think that he has every right to think freely.
He has every right, but he's not going to make a nickel doing it. You understand?
Well,
you can't make any money.
If you're concerned about his money... That is also insulting to intelligent people who listen to your show.
Ain't that all you're interested in? Everybody's interested in money.
There you go. With
you
your
ain't age. You ain't interested in it.
What?
I mean, I
look at David.
That age is in your vocabulary. You're supposed to be.
Guess who's on TV
person.
Right? All right, you want honesty? Let me ask you something. You know who's on TV right now? Ralph Nader. Don't you think he's had a stroke?
Guess who's on TV? I'm
all right.
To you.
So Joanna. We appreciate the call.
No, we're not getting rid of her. She's in New York. That's a big market. I got to talk to her and find out how she feels.
New York. I'm only here visiting New York.
All right. That explains why you're not Jewish. But the point that I'm...
All right. Thanks very much for your phone. I appreciate it very much, Joanna. Appreciate it very much for your phone call. 877-876-PHIL.
Why did you hang up on that caller? I was doing research.
What kind of research are you doing, man? First of all, you're talking about all that explains why you're Jewish. Secondly, don't you think Ralph Nader's had a stroke?
Well, don't you?
What has that got to do with anything?
Because he's on TV right now. Because it happens to be what's going on in the world right now. You want to sit here and talk to some lady and make nice with her while I'm trying to tell you that we got an affiliate in South Carolina that really wants to pick up the show.
So I'm talking to a lady on an affiliate in New York, and I got to get rid of her to make sure we get a South Carolina affiliate.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Sorry. Jeez, I didn't know. Excuse me, Mr. Henry.
Wait a minute. You don't understand.
No, I get it. South Carolina, I mean, why should you be bothered with South Carolina? Why, you have an affiliate in New York, don't you? Well, I'm so very sorry, Mr. Henry, to have bothered you. I'm only the guy that goes out and pitches your show to everybody. That's all.
I'm not saying I don't appreciate the work. I'm simply saying I don't want an affiliate in South Carolina if the guy who runs the station wants me to slip in, quote, Jew jokes, end of quote.
Don't you know what's going on out there? The chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party made a Jew joke. Nobody was upset about that.
They're asking for his head, man. Aren't you reading the news?
When?
In the news today, they're saying the guy ought to be fired. And I don't like the term Jew jokes. Thank you very much.
Easy, man.
877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is David in Gainesville, Florida. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Welcome.
Mr. Hendry, how are you this evening? I want to make the point that while your other esteemed colleague seems to think that everyone can be categorized as a Republican, conservative, or a liberal Democrat, I firmly believe that I believe in abortion. I believe that that's a right that people should have. Women should have to choose. I also believe that my money shouldn't go to pay for women who choose not to do that, or women who have babies just to have babies to make money. I'm a firm believer that I can be a social liberal and a fiscal conservative and not be categorized as a right-wing Republican. I just don't understand.
Well, don't do you... All right, let me ask you a question, sir. If you understand the pro-choice platform?
Yes, I understand that.
All right, then you know that only women can have abortions, right?
9 months of gestation, it's not my call one way or the other. That's what I understand.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't seem to understand. You said that you said people should be able to have abortions and only women can have them.
He understands that.
Decision one way or the other.
I don't understand what you're talking about. You said that you believe in a woman's right to choose, but that you don't want to pay for it. Is that what you said?
I believe in a woman's right to choose. I just don't believe that I, as a taxpayer, should pay if she chooses that to have lots of children.
No. If she chooses to have an abortion.
No. She can have all the abortions she wants. That I don't believe that I should pay for a woman to have 4, 5, or 6 children and live on welfare. But
all right, do you believe you should pay for her to have an abortion?
All right, what are we talking about here?
I want to find out what this guy's all. This guy, there's something about this guy that's off. I'm not sure what it is, but
the gentleman's very clear as to what he's saying. He would rather a woman choose an abortion than have 5 or 6 kids that she can't afford to raise.
Yeah, but he's put it in a weird way.
That isn't clear. That's exactly my point.
Well,
I believe I'm not the one that has to pick up the tab for her. I'm not going to make a decision. I'm not going to tell her abortion or not abortion, but I also shouldn't have to pay the tab for her.
I just don't. I think there's something wrong with this guy.
What's wrong? I understand him perfectly well.
any human that makes sense, obviously there's something wrong with us if we have logic, because logic doesn't compute with you guys who want us to be to conform to the way you need us to be to fit your model. Yeah, logic doesn't.
There's something weird about you. There's something wrong with you. You got a southern accent, but you believe in abortion. I don't.
Boy, you know something, man? You are full of every kind of stereotype tonight.
And logic is something that neither the right wing nor the left wing want anyone to have a grasp of. Those of us in the center, where most of the country is, you guys on the left, you guys on the right, no matter which one you are, I'm not putting you on either side, but no matter which side you take part of, neither one of you want the center to be there, because we're the logical ones.
Well, wait a minute, David. I got to be clear on something here. You come from Florida, and you're lecturing me about logic? Your state is loaded with loons.
I didn't say we understood about hanging.
He didn't.
That's something.
You're talking to me about logic, and you come from Florida. I think that's pretty funny.
We're not here to indict the entire state of Florida. This gentleman is making his point.
Center is the way the country's moving, and the guys on the left and the guys on the right don't want us to move to the center, because then you lose control.
Well, I will tell you this much. First of all, I think that what you... I don't understand what he said.
I understood him perfectly. David, thank you very much.
No, you don't get it. This guy wants you to think that he's a liberal. He ain't. You ain't a liberal, are you, David? There's no way. If I told you a Jew joke...
All right, never mind. Thank you, David, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. If I told you a Jew joke, what is it with that?
I told you, you got a chance to nail down a big affiliate in South Carolina.
You know, if I was from South Carolina, I would be really offended right now, man. I'd be really upset.
Oh, well, isn't that just too bad? You'd be really upset about what? About the fact that you're going to get a big affiliate in South Carolina? And all I'm asking you to do is not be kissing Obama's rear end, like, relentlessly. Give it about a three-second break.
So you're telling me that I'm kissing Obama's rear end, what, because I just think it's cool to do?
I'm saying that a lot of people think that when you talk good about Obama, you ain't, you know, a conservative. And they want you to be. So I'm just saying, back off. Just take your lips off of his rear end for a half of a second.
There's nothing about this radio show that kisses up to him, man. Is there something wrong with a guy who wants a president to succeed as opposed to taking the bold stand, I hope he fails? Did you want me to say that about Bush?
No, because everybody wanted Bush to succeed.
Well, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a final phone call here in the segment. Eddie in Wichita, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Eddie, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, sir. Thank you.
I got to tell you what. Multiple personality disorder is the word, the phrase that comes to mind when I start thinking about Mr. Hall here. It seems like he's been all over the place with subjects today. I thought he originally called about wanting to know what your stance politically was. And
what are you talking about, kid? I'm not all over the place.
You have been actually all over the place, sir.
No, I haven't.
You started with insulting the audience, first of all. With the assumption that you already know that everybody except for yourself is dumb, which is completely untrue, by the way, because from my perspective, nobody has proven me wrong yet.
No one's proven me wrong yet.
You yourself have proved yourself wrong, actually, a couple times.
What, that the audience isn't dumb? You know the audience is dumb. I know the audience is dumb. You know you're
you know
dumb.
What?
I know you're
the
dumb.
Audience.
And that's the premise that we work from.
You about the audience being dumb, sir, would be to say, hey, let me look at myself in the mirror and say, I'm dumb. And you know what? I'll never do that.
That's right.
Because I'm not.
Well, you should.
You're the one that's dumb here, because you're the one.
I bet you already have, though.
You're the one that's made the assumption that everybody else is dumb already. That
haven't you at some time in your life looked in the mirror and said, I'm dumb?
Okay, and what is the point, David?
The point is this. If we're all honest about it, we know that the average talk radio listener ain't too bright, and I say that with all due respect, and all I'm asking you to do is to acknowledge that there's something out there in the world other than minorities and you know, that whole, if I were a rich man, do-do-do-do-do, you know. And
boy, you know, you'd think that, but listening to you, that all I do is talk about minority rights here and the Jewish faith.
That's what liberals do.
I'm not a liberal, man.
Well, that's what people think you are.
Why, because I don't rip into Obama every 5 seconds?
Yes.
Well, it ain't going to happen.
Then you're a liberal.
All right. Well, if that's what being a liberal is, not ripping into Obama every 5 seconds about something that he did wrong and letting everybody else take a freaking take a flyer, then, yeah, okay, I guess I'm a liberal.
Aha! So you finally admit it. If the Jewish advertisers were more willing to give us some money for sponsorships, I wouldn't be at all offended.
Thank you very much for your phone call, Eddie. I appreciate it. And thank you, Mr. Hall, wherever you are.
Uh-oh, you hung up on Mr. Hall. Oh, boy.
I don't. What, you think I care? He works for me, huh? If the Jewish advertisers would give us more... 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we have the stories that we didn't get to on the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, time now for the stories we didn't get to here on the world famous groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. Don't forget to watch our on-demand video of the show when we post it, probably sometime later this morning. And also, of course, live streaming audio turns into downloadable audio on our website, philhenryshow.com. Tonight in our stories that we couldn't get to in Antioch, California, talk about a tough kid. A California toddler is alive after falling 30 feet from an apartment window and landing on concrete and rocks. Contra Costa County Fire Captain Charles Thomas says the 22-month-old boy was alert and crying after the three-story plunge Sunday at Antioch that left him with just a cut on his abdomen, a bruised lung, and a bump on his head. The boy appeared to have climbed onto furniture near an open window, then fell after pushing against the screen. He landed on concrete and a bed of rocks, but as of this broadcast, he is doing fine. Actor Nicolas Cage filed a $20 million lawsuit against his former business manager on Friday of last week, accusing him of negligence and fraud that sent the National Treasure star down a path toward financial ruin. Cage claimed that his recently fired business manager had failed to pay taxes when they were due and had placed him in speculative and risky real estate investments, resulting in the actor suffering catastrophic losses. In a lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court and first obtained by celebrity website TMZ.com, Cage said he now had been forced to sell major assets and investments at a significant loss because of the actions of his business advisor and accountant over the past 7 years. The lawsuit said the advisor had also failed to alert Cage to the fact that his money was running out and had overextended his lines of credit with banks. The former business manager, Samuel Levin, could not be reached for comment on Friday. Cage is one of Hollywood's most prolific actors with more than 50 movies to his name, including an Oscar-winning role as an alcoholic in the film Leaving Las Vegas and action movies such as Face Off and Gone in 60 Seconds. Cage earned some $40 million last year, according to Forbes.com, and has 6 movies expected to hit theaters over the next 2 years. He's recently was hit with a claim for $6.6 million in back income taxes, interest, and penalties by U.S. authorities. Cage said he did not realize the extent of his problems until September of 2008, when he hired a new business manager. He asked for $20 million in damages, saying that his reputation has irreparably been tarnished. In Switzerland, authorities say an Italian man took reckless driving to new heights in 11 frantic minutes of traffic violations. They said they first spotted the 47-year-old driver as he sped his Jeep past an unmarked police car at 100 miles an hour in a rainstorm on Sunday. Driving dangerously close to other cars on the Autobahn, he then allegedly ignored police attempts to pull him over, first with a stop sign and then with flashing lights and sirens. Police say the man drove through a construction zone at 87 miles per hour, nearly twice the speed limit, before being stopped. They seized the man's driver's license, and a judge ordered him tested for medications and illegal drugs. Police said on Monday the man racked up 15 traffic violations in 11 minutes. A Thai waxworks museum has apologized and covered up a giant billboard of Adolf Hitler giving a Nazi salute after the Israeli and German embassies lodged complaints, its director said on Sunday. The billboard was one of 4 featuring pictures of famous dead people set up on a highway to the beach town of Pattaya, about an hour's drive southeast of Bangkok, to promote Louis Tussaud's waxworks, which opens there next month. Alongside the picture of the Nazi dictator, erected more than 2 weeks ago, a large Thai language slogan said, "Hitler is not dead." Museum director Samporn Nakerstrong said the billboard had been covered up after a lot of complaints poured in, including from the Israeli and German embassies. I don't know. That to me, that sounds like a kind of a cool advertising campaign.
Yeah, I thought it sounded pretty good.
Sometimes, you know, the anti-Nazi thing is good, but I mean, these cats are just trying to promote their music. Anyway.
Well, you're an anti-Semite.
Shut up. No, I'm not. Police said an 18-year-old man faces charges of disorderly conduct for donning a mask like in the movie V for Vendetta to terrorize residents of central Massachusetts. The Sentinel said, as the Sentinel and Enterprise of Fitchburg reported on Friday that the V sightings began on September the 30th when a group of teenagers began wearing the masks to scare one another. But then one teen got carried away and began peering into windows. Oh, God. Boy, that'll get you killed, man, right there.
Yeah.
Groton police assisted in the probe following a similar report from Shaw's Supermarket, and the young punk was apprehended. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, our technical...
Phil, learn more at talkradionetwork.com. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It covers 96% of all Americans.
Greetings. It's time to start drawing from our proud American history of burning people in effigy.
I've said all along that I support tougher regulation of insurance companies.
I imagine these members thought that maybe this flag was some kind of political, religious statement.
Jews are good with money.
Burn in hell.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and we take you to the looking glass of reality, like the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, and get to the truth. Coming up tonight, we're going to be talking with Vernon Dozier, who is a high school teacher, as well as a varsity football coach, as well as a member of the board at the Belmar Academy, and he'll be discussing with us a new set of research that's out that essentially says kids who are overweight should be allowed to sleep in on weekends and should be allowed to relax a little bit more on weekends. It could very well be that the stress and the strain of reminding them of their weight and the problems they're having therein causes them to be overweight. So we'll be talking to him. You know, the health care bill, at least as far as the House goes, has been passed. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL. And you can visit us online all the time at philhendryshow.com, where you can listen to live streaming audio of the show as well as watch a live streaming video, which is happening right now. I'm looking at myself on our small monitor here in the comfort of our El Pacifico studios. I first want to bring on the line with us tonight a gentleman who is with a group called Disband. And Disband is, as far as I can tell, and we'll talk to Chris Moore about it, basically comprised of single men who are looking to, as they say, remove the prejudice involved in being a young single man in the dating world and in looking for a life partner. And we bring Chris on the line from Hermosa Beach, California. Chris, how are you this evening?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having us on and hearing our message. Appreciate it very much.
Chris, I wanted to mention to you, first off, that you're on our program this evening kind of as a last minute because we did see your story in the newspaper, and it was, at the time I was reading about the American flag being banned in a gym, and I didn't think there was a connection, but you actually have a connection there in terms of symbols?
Well, I don't want to get too complicated. I guess I should give my background a little bit.
Well, tell people who you are and what do you do?
Yeah, I work for a telemarketer in Hermosa Beach, California, which is I telemarket pharmaceuticals. But during my off hours, obviously, I'm a single man. I'm 28 years of age. I do date. My friends are also active in the single world. I'm, I guess, lucky in a way because I was born. I'm very probably, you know, better looking than I guess most guys are. Where we go to meet young ladies, which could be any one of a number of restaurants or bars in the Hermosa Beach and Manhattan Beach area, we've noticed more and more people flaunting kind of a religious symbol that impedes your ability to live a free life and be a free man and a free woman.
And what is the religious symbol? Because it goes to the name of your organization.
Well, the religious symbol is the wedding band. And the reason why we say it's a religious symbol is because it obviously is. Marriage is something that takes place in a religious institution, and then women or men will put a religious symbol on their finger, and they go into the world and flaunt it and sort of force the rest of us to, you know, they kind of shove it down our throats in a lot of ways. And we find it offensive, and we feel that when you're in a restaurant or you're in a bar setting and you're with single people and you're trying to meet people and people come in with a religious symbol, see, that's not a separation of church and state. And that's the main thing of what it is that I was talking about with your producer on the show.
Not a separation of church and state. So the wedding band worn by any individual, whether it be a woman or a man.
Well, in our case, we're mostly interested in how come women who are obviously attractive and are putting out a lot of sexual energy, for instance. And, you know, there's a lot of women and a lot of men in this world put out sexual energy, have a lot of sexuality, but why did they do that? And at the same time, they flaunt their religion openly, where you're not allowed to do that in a church, in a separation of the church and the state. And when I was talking to Lance Germain, who's also my manager, because I have kind of an aspiring acting career in adult films, and I said, when we were having Bloody Marys over here one morning over here at Rusty Pelican, I said to him, isn't that a separation of church, not a separation of church and state?
So when you saw the wedding band on young women, attractive young women that you may want to talk to, you're looking at a religious symbol that you find offensive.
Exactly. And I don't have a problem with religion. I think that religion is, you know, you should be allowed to practice your religion. But we have, I find it offensive to me to see that. And so, like you were talking about that gym in Massachusetts where they had a flag and people thought that was offensive, I think in a lot of ways in this world we live in.
Well, you know, I don't see the difference. I mean, I do see a difference there. That's secular, and this is you're talking about religion.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. This, you know, people are allowed to wear their religion all over the place, even if it offends me.
Now, what would you say to someone who had a cross around their neck, wearing a cross?
Well, see, that's only worn by women, and that doesn't mean that they're shoving their religion in your face to the extent that it affects your life. You see?
So you're saying that the wedding band is shoving their religion in your face to the point where it does inhibit you?
It does, yeah. It's prejudice, I think, mainly against my practices, my social practices, which is that I want to meet women, I want to talk to them, and get to know them and let them see, you know, what I'm about, and they can meet me. But if they have their religious symbol, their wedding ring, they're saying not only are they religious, but it keeps me from having the freedom to talk to them.
Well, would it not be a fair thing to say this, Chris? If they're wearing a wedding band, they don't want to talk to you.
Not necessarily. As you know, Mr. Henry, in society, and we've got the testimonials of a great many of our own members of disband. There are a lot of married women that you can approach and talk to, and I don't want to say that I don't respect marriage, but what if she's out there and she wants to meet you, and
a lot of women take their wedding bands off.
A lot of them do, a lot of them don't, and I applaud the women who take their wedding bands off because they don't want to offend me or other single men. And make us not want to be around them because we're offended, you know, and we won't talk to them. But some of them do keep their wedding band on. Only if you sometimes find you can talk to them and even find that you can go out with them, you know.
Why do you want to go out with a married woman, man? Why do you want to go out with a woman who's married, who has a husband?
It's not about that. It's not really about that at all. It's about the fact that wedding band is a religious symbol that keeps her from being who she is and keeps me from being who I am. And it's in public, and it's against the Constitution, and it inhibits behavior. You were talking about her wearing a cross around her neck. That doesn't inhibit behavior because that symbol no one really cares about. I mean, I shouldn't say no one cares about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, people, the person wearing it.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Some people wear crosses around their necks because they just think it looks goth or, you know, I mean, seriously, some emo people who wear crosses. But I'm saying that the wedding band is an actual religious symbol that keeps people from practicing, from being free, and, you know, from being free and wanting to do what they want to do.
On your website here, it says that you call it the wedding ring is an outrageous and offensive religious symbol.
Yes, sir.
Tell me that. Why do you think that?
We believe that the wedding ring is not only an outrageous and offensive religious symbol, we believe it should be barred from the public sphere. And I know the public is behind us on this because we've talked to a lot of people who realize that it is so, you know, it's so over, really. I mean, it's so, you know, 90s to wear a religious band on your finger and say, oh, hi, you know, I'm married. I mean, what does that mean? You know, what does it really mean? Does anybody really know what it means? I don't think so. But we at this band understand that what it is, a religious symbol, that is a violation of the separation of the state and church, and that it does inhibit behavior.
So, and this is on your website, the wedding ring, an outrageous and offensive religious symbol that must be barred from the public sphere. And you believe the public is behind you on this, right?
We do, because we've had all kinds of email from, a lot of it is from single men, okay?
All right, so you got a lot of single guys.
Well, no, but it's gaining ground, I think, among women who feel that wearing that around their fingers, almost like wearing, forgive me for saying this, it's almost like wearing one of those steel slave bands that the back when they were called Negroes, slave Negroes were wearing when they were slaves. But the wedding band is, in our opinion, oppressive, not only to women, but also to single men who want to talk to them. And we're saying take your religion out of our face, not out of our face, but take your religion out of our life. And put your religion back in your church where it belongs and take it away from the bar. It's the one place where I can go and have a cocktail or, you know, talk to my friends and not have to have all kinds of religion shoved up in my face and everything.
You're using an awful lot of the language that is used by some in the religious community who, for instance, don't like gay people.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you're sort of saying you're shoving your lifestyle.
Oh, no, we're not talking about your lifestyle. I'm saying that they are shoving their religion. And that's got nothing to do with just a philosophical difference. That's about the Constitution of the United States of America. And the Constitution says you separate a church and you separate it out away from the state.
Well, you know what? I'm not a lawyer, Chris, and we'll take some phone calls here with Chris Norton, and our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. When you say that the wedding band is a religious symbol, and I don't doubt that it is, the wearing of it in public is a violation of the separation of church and state.
That's exactly what we're saying, and we are saying that it needs to stop. We think you can be married and not violate other people's rights by wearing your religion on your hand everywhere you go. And to that end, we want it to be banned in public, and that's what this band is about.
So you want the wearing of wedding rings banned. You know that that's not going to happen.
I don't think so. I think you can force people to take them off when they go into restaurants. I think you can force people to take them off when they go into, like, movie theaters or shopping malls.
So you would like people to take their wedding bands off before they go into bars, restaurants, movie theaters, etc.?
Wherever there's going to be a gathering of people where it's going to be offensive to see your religion every place is really what we're saying.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL with Chris Norton, and we're talking here. He's a member of a group called Disband, a group that wants to ban the wearing of wedding rings in public because it is a religious symbol violating the separation of church and state. It also impedes people's lifestyles and people's actions and the way that they relate to other people, and he feels that there should be some kind of a ban or a limiting of wearing the wedding ring. 877-876-PHIL is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Chris Norton and more of your phone calls. And later on, gym members call the display of an American flag offensive, and Randall Terry wants to burn pictures of Pelosi in effigy. All right. And we'll also tell you which states get the worst sleep. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to our world-famous and groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It is a busy news day. It's also one of those days where you can look at the larger issues, the social and political issues that affect us. With us is Chris Norton from Disband, a group of predominantly single men, young men, who believe the wedding band, the wedding ring, worn in public is a violation of church and state separation and, in point of fact, constrains people's commerce, business, and behavior. Now, you said we're going to go to some phone calls, Chris, but you said that you did some research on this?
Yes, sir. I did a Wikipedia search on Establishment Clause, and I think under the principles of Sherbert versus Verner, the Supreme Court has made it clear that wearing wedding bands in public violates my rights, as well as the rights of others. To operate in a way that, you know, I want to just be free. I mean, that's all I want to be is free.
And okay, I'm not familiar with this court case. Sherbert what?
Sherbert versus Verner. And it said that when I looked on Wikipedia, it said about it making, you know, wearing wedding bands in public violates my rights.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, talking here with Chris Norton. Let's go over to a phone call we have on the line. Tonight from Texas is Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show. You're on with Chris Norton. What can we do for you, sir?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Thank you very much.
Hi. I don't agree with you, sir, and I just think you have a very skewed version of separation of church and state. First of all, I don't know of any state-run bars, any tax-funded bars, so it's not a public place. When you walk into a bar and you see a woman wearing a wedding band...
They pay taxes.
Right. They pay taxes. But no one is forcing you to walk into this bar and you see women wearing wedding bands. No one's forcing you to stay there. You have every right to leave that bar and go to somewhere else where they ban wedding bands. But that woman has every religious right to express and wear whatever symbol she wants to wear. It's not up to me or up to you or anyone else to tell her what she can and what she cannot wear.
Yeah, but everywhere you see wedding bands. Yeah. What's your name? Your name
right.
is
That's
Bob.
Right, sir. And you know what?
No, his name's Andrew.
Okay, but everywhere you go, you see wedding bands. And what that means, when I looked at Sherbert versus Verner, basically because people are wearing their religion everywhere, there's nowhere you can go. And so I'm saying that courts have to make a decision on where I can go. Are they telling me, okay, just stay in the street, and people with wedding bands can go any place? I don't think so. So we're saying split the difference and at least allow me, when they go into a bar where I'm going to go in, I'm going to talk to some ladies or something, and she's got her wedding band on, and I can't do nothing about it.
You know what? I mean, the idea that you cannot
you know
act
in right?
person because of a, I know what you're saying. But the idea that you can't go and talk to a woman because she's wearing something around a finger, that's symbolic, and you even say so yourself. What is marriage?
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything. Go,
it's religion.
That is not true.
It's religion, man. It's keeping me from being free from religion.
I disagree with you, sir.
I mean, are you familiar with the tenets of Sherbert versus Verner? I mean,
I doubt if any of us are, Chris.
Well, there's another case called Wisconsin versus Yoder. If you Google it, you'll be on my side. I can guarantee you.
Okay, Andrew. Appreciate your phone call,
you.
Sir. Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another phone call. We have Kristen calling us. Kristen, you're on with Chris Norton and Phil Hendry. What can we do for you tonight?
Hi, I'm just calling to make a point.
Hi,
that I actually am engaged to be married. I happen to be a lesbian. And, you know, our marriage really has nothing to do with religion for either one of us. We're going to be married by a justice of the peace. And, you know, I guess the wedding band that we're going to wear just has to do with our commitment to each other. And that's a symbol of that. So it really has nothing to do with religion for us. And I think many couples would share that, whether gay or straight. So that's my main point and why I would disagree with, you know, the fact that you find it offensive based on religious reasons.
Can you hold on, Chris? I can hear you breathing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got a sinus condition. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a response? What do you have a response to what the lady said?
Well, I think in her case, because she is a lesbian, I think it would be helpful. While it means something to her, it has a traditional meaning in the rest of society, and that traditional meaning is a religiously consecrated union between two people. And while she may think that it's not religious, it offends me that it's still on her hand. But she is a lesbian, and what we also have put into the platform, basically, of our charter is if there was a way that if she's a lesbian to let us know. I don't know how you'd do that in a public place or in a bar.
What do you mean, let you know?
If she's got on a religious symbol, but she's a lesbian, so I'm not going to want to talk to her. She didn't want to talk to me, neither, I'm sure. If she could...
But how would you know that I'm a lesbian?
Like a special kind of band. Or it's, you know, representing what lesbianism is, you know.
I'll have
if you could wear something
band.
That was made out of steel or something that was different from...
Wait a minute. Here's a young woman. She's marrying her partner. She's married, and she's got on her wedding band. And all she wants to do is have that on her finger.
Yeah, she's got it on her finger, but to me it offends me because it's religious.
She just said that it's not.
See, that's the whole thing. She can say it's not, but it is. Because if she could, for a lesbian, if they could wear something made out of... A friend of mine said barbed wire, but I think that that's...
What do you mean barbed wire?
Well, you don't want to go near that, you know.
We'll be back with Chris Norton, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Barbed wire.
Oh, yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the Alice in Wonderland of Talk Radio, the Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here to... Mr. Chris Norton, about his group called Disband, a group that believes the wearing openly of wedding bands in public is a religious statement, it's a violation of the separation of church and state, and impedes or otherwise prejudices his movements, his interactions, and his life, as well as the lives of other people. And you cited a couple of Supreme Court cases. I haven't looked at them, but I promise you that I will.
I want to ask you a question, Mr. Henry. It's kind of off the point. You call yourself the Alice in Wonderland of... Are you ever afraid that there people think it's some, like a show for gays or...
No, I'm not afraid of that, man. But that brings me to a point about what you were saying to that young lady who's a lesbian who's about to get married. If that lady, if they ban wedding rings like you want them to, then it wouldn't be an issue. She wouldn't wear one. But then you'd walk up to her and talk to her, and you'd find out she's a lesbian.
No, but that's that's why we did propose in the literature that there is some outstanding symbol on them when they go into a bar. See, the lesbians are different. They're married, but I don't want them to wear a wedding band because I do want to talk to them. And to be honest with you, and I don't mean to take up too much time, but I have been a bed with a lesbian, you know, because I'm good looking and I've been able to, you know, thank God I've been able to turn one or two of them.
Well, you're not turning any. Let's stick to the point here, okay? What do you mean an outward symbol?
If there was something they could be required to wear. Right?
Now, you understand that in Nazi Germany, homosexuals had to wear these pink triangles and...
Mr. Henry, I'm not talking about Nazi Germany. I'm not, you know...
Well, that's what was required, wearing something.
I'm just saying it protects me. It's not to put them in a concentration camp. They can do anything they want. It protects me from being... going up to her and having her shutting me down. You know, no guy wants to go up a woman and have her shut you flat down, you know. Yeah.
All right, that's off the point, exactly. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call we have on the line from Kentucky. It's Kimbra. Kimbra, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Chris Norton. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Good.
This guy is just all over the map here. I mean, he doesn't want women to wear rings, but he wants the lesbians to be marked. Okay.
I'm only saying.
Let me talk for a minute. You've talked plenty, okay? First of all, the wedding...
I'm trying to understand. I mean, no, you sound very exotic. You sound very exotic. You know, I'm just saying.
You're
I'm giving you a compliment.
For other people's opinions.
Okay, let
be quiet.
Yeah, I want the lady. Let the lady talk, Chris.
Be quiet for a minute, okay? A wedding ring is a symbol of love in between two people. Okay, and it is a sign to the rest of the world of their love. And it's also a sign to you that a woman doesn't necessarily want to be talked to. So that's what she's
it's been my experience.
For.
It's been my experience.
Well,
but that's
you know
not
what?
Necessarily
your experience is in a little bitty small box. I don't know how old you are, but you are not very experienced in life.
Well, ma'am,
because that's why most.
I live in
you
Los
know what?
Angeles.
You're not
you
listening.
Live in Louisville.
Your mouth
you
is running, and you can't hear when your mouth is running.
Like, for instance, if I wanted to talk to you, because you sound exotic.
What do you mean she sounds exotic? What are you saying?
Exotic.
Exotic.
Okay, if you'll be quiet for a minute, you might learn something. The reason
Are you currently wearing a religious symbol, or how do you do that?
Let her finish, Chris, please.
All right.
The reason why most women wear... Oh, my gosh.
Go ahead.
And you know what? You're the kind of person.
Well, why am I not? When I'm talking about, separation of church and state. Okay.
No.
You're wearing religion
you
on your
nuts.
Hand and
there
everything.
There is no separation.
You can't shut me down by calling me a name. You can't shut me down by calling me a name. You have to argue the facts. Well, the facts of it.
The fact is that you are asking other people to be limited because you are afraid that you can't talk to every woman out there. They don't want you talking to them. That's the reason why they have a ring on their finger.
Well, yeah, they have that, but it's religion. They are not allowed to do that.
No, it's not. It's a sign of love. Most people don't put it on because of God. They put it on because they're in love with another person.
You can't say that for sure. You know that it's about... You can't say that. You know that it's religion.
You can't say it either.
Yes, I can, because everybody... Where do they get married? Hello, in a church. Thank you.
No, not everyone gets married in a church.
Well, that was easy.
Lots of people get married by a court or a justice synagogue or a mosque.
That's not religion? Oh, wow. I didn't know that that was not religion, a synagogue and a mosque. Okay.
Well
you learn something new every day.
Well, the point here, Chris, is what?
This lady, you know, she says that I got a limited. She's living in Louisville, Kentucky, which I'm sure is a very nice place, but I'm in Hermosa Beach, California. I go to the Rusty Pelican every night. I see all these tasty women, and you can't talk to them or anything.
They don't want
because they're married.
Yeah, but why are they wearing a symbol?
Go talk to single women that don't have a ring on.
If they don't want me to talk to them, if they don't want me to talk to them, how come married women sleep with guys like me? Oh, that's another point that I've made that you have no response to.
I don't know why anyone would sleep with you, honestly.
Well, the fact is,
you probably talk them to death.
You know what? If you saw me, you'd be ready for it. I mean, I'm hot looking. Okay.
But look at here's the point. You know,
she's all laughing. She's all laughing. You know why she's laughing? She's laughing because if she did see me, she would want to jump it. You would.
Chris, you know you're being laughed at now.
I know because people. I know that it's a concept that most people don't get that having a wedding ring on is wearing a religious symbol, and that violates the American, you know, way of life. And she's got her ring on, you know. And
have a ring on.
Have
but
you had
know
to,
what?
Have you had
I
to have your ring resized since you picked up all that weight?
Okay, that was uncalled for.
What?
Have you had to have your ring resized since you picked
married,
up all that weight?
And when I look at men, I am looking for a single man. And I first thing I do is if I see a man has a ring on, I do not look at him and I do not talk to him. Because single man.
Right. Can you tell me roughly what the food bill is for you so that, you know, if a guy... You should have that ready.
What are you talking about?
What are you doing? All right, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it very much. There were good points that you were making, Kimberl. Let's go to another call. Here is Stacy on the Phil Hendry Show. Stacy, you're on with Chris Norton. Good evening.
Yes. A couple of things. Two things. One, regarding religion, the Civil Rights Act protects certain rights in this country from being discriminated against. Religion is one of those rights. Congress, the president, and the judicial system will not contradict, and neither will they go against the provisions of the civil rights. If they attempt to tamper with that, I strongly believe that that would lead to a civil war in this country.
What are you talking about? They're always taking crosses down when they put them up for Christmas.
They will not hazard the repealing of certain provisions of the Civil Rights Act, religion being one of them.
Look, just because you watch Law and Order once a week doesn't mean, you know the Constitution of America.
The cases that you were speaking about, I would wager that those are more than likely specifically regarding specific details that are not necessarily generalized throughout the entire population. So they might have gone
to court, and that's fine. Mr. Henry, when she gets done sometime this year,
would you let the
late?
Yeah. Exactly. Stacey, are you an attorney? Are you an attorney, Stacey? Stacey, you have to. This is Phil. This is Phil. Are you an attorney? I wanted to ask you.
I am not an attorney.
Are you there, ma'am? Oh, okay. You sound very, very well versed.
I want to ask the lady a question, Mr. Henry. I don't know why, but I sense some sexual tension between us.
I only have a few minutes on my mobile phone, and I don't want the phone to disconnect.
Sexual tension between you and her?
Between me and Stacey, yeah. I wonder if she senses it, too.
The other thing is, what you need to understand about rings
and religion. Can I go get a Coke
or something
while she's talking?
I want you to listen to her.
Okay.
Number one, a ring is not necessarily a religious symbol.
Would you be quiet?
A ring is something... A necklace or a rosary bead. All of these are neutral objects. All of these are neutral objects. They hold no spiritual or religious value in and of themselves. Religion is strictly a human phenomenon. Religion only holds sway based on the spiritual importance that the individual human being places upon it. So a ring,
right.
A book, beads,
she's
necklaces, clothing, rituals, altars, buildings, these types of things, songs, these types of things are neutral objects. The ring is simply a tradition. That's all it is. Anyone can wear a ring. Anyone can wear a necklace. A ring
does not
necessarily hold religious sway. The religion...
I understand.
Comes into play within the person and the being of the human phenomenon. It is only the human being that gives importance to religion.
Thank you, Stacey. He's not even listening to you. He hasn't even listened to you. He's walked away from the phone. But I know. But I appreciate your points. Very, very.
I'm speaking to your listeners.
Yes, ma'am. And I appreciate your points very much. Very well made. 877-876-PHIL.
You didn't hear what she said, man. She was talking all kind of smack, and
I was trying to listen to her while you were asking your friend where the Bud Malt was. They don't even make that stuff anymore.
Excuse me, but yes, they do, Mr. Henry. It's available at a couple of different places.
I'm not interested. I want to get to another phone call here. I got Johnny in Missouri. Johnny, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Where is he there? There's Johnny. What's going on, Johnny? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Look. I think this guy's a complete sleazeball, and there's a deeper psychology that's in this. Is that
everybody's calling me names? I haven't called anybody any names.
And you can't get girls, and it started like that.
I'm on the case every night
behind why you think you can't get girls, and then to point out a wedding ring on a woman's finger. Yeah,
exactly.
It's ridiculous.
It's religion, man. It's religion, man. I don't know. Maybe you were brought up to believe that religion can just run roughshod over people, but
people
it's not allowed
laughing.
To.
Oh, man.
Ridiculous. On a typical Friday night, you and I going out, okay? We're going headhunting. Dude, they'd be all over me. You'd still be, offered to buy beers by this time to some fat ranchero chick.
Okay, what's the point of this conversation?
I mean, I'm not even saying that about you. But
yeah, you are, man. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. You're saying I can't get women. Well, that's not the point at all, man. I got all the women I need. I'm telling you, they're walking in to my place, to my crib, and they're wearing their religion on their finger, and I'm saying, where do they get off doing that?
So do you own the bar?
Because they're married. Because it's in a bar.
Yeah. Do you own it, man?
Do you own it?
Hey, no. The religious people own everything, man. They go everywhere with their religion on their hand. They own everything. They own the church. They own the bar. They own the parking lot, man. They own the supermarkets. They do everything they want, and they got guys like you. Are you married, dude?
I'm not married. I actually have a girlfriend,
You got a girlfriend?
Yeah, for 2 years.
How do you know? How do you know you have a girlfriend if you don't stick some religious symbol on her finger to make sure if she runs into me, she doesn't climb it up, up my crib?
Hey, man, what's with this crude conversation here, climbing it up in your crib?
This dude is all about wearing symbols. I just wonder why he didn't stick one on his girlfriend's finger. Yeah.
It's a symbol of commitment. If you want to believe in religion, man, that's your... Look the other way, dude.
Hey, dude, if it isn't religion, then how come they don't let gays marry? Because they say it's marriage and it's religion. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, again. I'm sure that has a lot to do with the politics of the bar owners.
All right.
Man, that's a whole different
All right, Johnny,
topic,
thank
buddy.
You.
No, same topic, man. Same topic. Different, a city.
Whatever. Okay, thanks a lot, Johnny, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We've got to take a break. We'll be back. Chris Norton from Disband. On the wearing of religious, and he's got me saying it now.
Yeah, see, you're influenced by him. I could tell. I could notice that it's going on to the whole hour.
I'm not influenced. He says the wearing of a wedding ring is a religious symbol and therefore violates the separation of church and state. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show, back in a moment.
I've been watching you.
Well, don't watch me.
Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world famous Phil Henry Show each and every night. Until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And coming up with the program, we're going to be talking more about health care. We've got this situation with kids getting fat and what's the best way to deal with them. We'll have Vernon Dozier on to talk with us about that. People in West Virginia ain't getting enough sleep. What's that about? But right now we have Chris Norton in our final segment talking about Disband, a group of single men who want to get rid of wedding rings because they are a religious symbol and thus separate church, do not separate church and state. Rachel in Nashville, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Chris Norton. Rachel?
Hello?
Rachel? Yes, ma'am, yeah. You're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say this is absurd. This whole conversation is absurd. I can't believe we're devoting this attention to it. This man is disgusting.
Yeah, you know,
disgusting.
I want to say something to Stacey. It's interesting because I sensed that there was some kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it now, a sexual tension between you and me right away.
Oh, hush. Yeah. You know, listen, you keep bragging about the fact that you have all these women coming to you. You say yourself you're an adult film. Good women are scripted to be with you.
Am I off base?
I can't see any woman wanting to hear anything coming out of your mouth. It makes no sense.
Well, see, the fact that you were drawn to call me, though, tells me that there's a sexuality that's going on, you know.
Well, what's that got to do with the wedding band?
Jesus, hold on for a minute, Mr. Henry. I'm sort of working my game a little bit here. And
oh, come on, man.
No, but this is my point.
Stay on point.
This lady is married. Okay, are you married, ma'am? Are you wearing your little slavery band? Okay, all right. So you wear your little religious. If I walk up at you, say at a local bar there, and wherever you live, you know.
You've been listening to
said,
breathe and
okay,
chant on the
let's
phone.
Try it out.
It's disgusting.
I have a sinus condition. I'm sorry, but let's try it out, okay? I'm walk up to you. You're sitting there. I'll go, and this is what I would say. Well, why is she laughing?
All right, go ahead. Try it. Try your, work your game. You're on the phone.
Please.
I walk up to her, I say, hey, you got to be, you have
he
to
doesn't
do
have
right.
game. Look
I
at
say,
this.
what's going on? No. I lawn, and you'd say, hello, and you'd wave your little wedding band. To me, that would be you saying, see,
That would be me telling you to take a hike and walk
away. It's blocking me. It's blocking you from sitting down and learning more about another human being. See, what that ring does is it keeps you from learning more about a fellow human.
Sometimes people go out because they want to have fun with their friends. They don't want to be approached by people. Some people who are not even married wear a ring just to keep people like you away from them.
Yeah, and guess what? Some women take it off before they leave the house. Hello, what's up now? What's up now, you know? And so what I'm saying is that little religious symbol that's on your finger keeps you and me from maybe, you know, getting down to some serious discussion of...
There's no discussion to
be
had.
How you want to wrap your night up. Well, you never can tell. If I said to you, for instance, hey, Stacey, how you doing? My name is Chris.
Like, what is Chris,
what I'm saying is you're way off point now. You're hitting on this chick.
No, I'm telling her that if had her wedding band on, she wouldn't be able to find out about, yeah, okay, I am. I'm very sassy. But I also sense that she has a sexual tension, too, and a sexuality between us.
You're disgusting.
Okay, so what about it, man?
And so if I went over, I said, hey, how you doing? My name is Chris. I know you're wearing your little religious symbol, but, can I get you another drink?
You'd say what?
That's your game? My word.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying, does she want to have another drink? But you got to say it in a way that's, that has a sense. What do you think is so funny? You see, she thinks she's laughing because of the sexual tension.
I don't know what you mean by sexual tension. She's laughing at you.
Yeah, she digs me, but she doesn't. She's all laughing about it because she's embarrassed because she's married and her husband's probably standing there, cleaning his gun or something.
Oh, that's great, man.
Well, that's my experience.
All right.
But I would say, hey, or whatever her name, I forget what your name is, Susie or something.
Tina?
Hey, want to get a drink?
Yeah, that's real sexy, man, remembering her name.
Real good.
Okay, thank you very much. 8778. Thank you, Chris. We got to take a break. I appreciate it. Chris Norton from Disband on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Vernon Dozier in another hour. We'll be back with big, big news, including a jury awarding a radio contestant survivor $16 million because they killed her. They killed the girl in the contest.
Phil Henry. Bill Henry Show.
I think it's a disappointment, really, to millions of Americans who saw
Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid burn in hell.
Jennifer, I heard that it's not, you're not doing too well.
My head hurts.
I imagine these members thought that maybe this flag was some kind of political, religious statement.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
Burn in hell.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night until 1 o'clock here at the El Pacifico on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch, and Alice in Wonderland Looking Glass ride through talk radio reality and the news. And it has been an eventful evening, I think. Coming up right now, we want to talk. I'm going to give you the story first. We'll bring on our guest, Vernon Dozier. Mr. Dozier is a regular contributor on the Phil Henry Show. He's a high school educator, an athletic coach, a high school football coach. He's also a member of the board of administrators there at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. And he also runs Camp Possibility. Camp Possibility is a camp for kids who suffer from a variety of physical ailments, and among them, obesity. The story here from Health Day News, letting children sleep late on weekends and holidays might help them avoid becoming overweight or obese, according to a new study. In this study, it says that researchers in Hong Kong found that children who got less sleep tended to be heavier as measured by body mass index, or BMI. They got heavier than children who slept more. But among children who slept less than 8 hours a night, those who compensated for their weekday sleep deficit by sleeping late on weekends or holidays were significantly less likely to be overweight or obese. In other words, these kids are less likely to be overweight or obese if they're sleeping late on the weekends in order to compensate for that sleep deficit during the week. Let's get Mr. Dozier on the phone here. And Vernon, always good to talk to you.
It's my pleasure, Phil. Thanks for having us on. It's a very important topic.
Camp Possibility, you're a football coach. You work with kids. You were a high school administrator, a high school teacher. And you saw this study. This is from researchers in Hong Kong. They're talking about BMI, body mass index. What do you think of this?
I personally, I don't subscribe to it. I think it's dangerous. When you talk about BMI, that is the body mass index of kids. There is a slight difference in how you calculate that because we are talking about younger people. Our metabolism is much, much different. The way they are metabolizing, whether it be the fats, carbohydrates, proteins, and so on, it's going to be different. And so to take some research that was done in Hong Kong and you try to translate that into, English, and it comes out, let's just let these kids sleep in late. Kids don't need to sleep in late.
But let me get you back to your body mass index. So in other words, you can't
index a child's body fat the same way you will an adult's because the metabolism is much, much higher. And I think that this is a group of researchers who have not taken that into consideration. The danger, Phil, of a study like this is that it continues to facilitate an epidemic of obese children, and it facilitates and creates a codependent parents who are willing to allow their children to be obese because they are told that they're very worthy and that they're good kids, and they're even if they are fat. And we know, especially those of us in the athletic field and physical fitness field, that fat people are not worthy. Worthy is when you are a physical, when you're an individual that has a discipline over themselves.
Vernon Dozier with us from Camp Possibility, Belmar Academy. You said in an earlier interview the study ruined your ability to survive the recession.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, Camp Possibility, we've got a lot of young people signed up to go through a very rigorous physical fitness regimen. All right, but like I said, this is a rigorous physical fitness. This is not a codependent camp like so many of today's parents.
When you say codependent, what do you mean by that? You say the study enables these parents?
Yeah, this is a study that enables parents who already call their kids the sun that rises in the east. I mean, you have parents that are used to referring to their children as the sunshine or snowflake, and they can't do anything wrong. And they want their children to have lots and lots of fun. No, we are here to facilitate parents who are willing to put their kids through the harshest fat camp around because they know fat people, for whatever reason, are basically worthless. They want their kids to be happy.
No, that's the second time you said that. Fat people are worthless.
Well, not in the sense of their humanity, but they're not. They don't. If you look at someone, and I don't mean to call fat people worthless, what I mean is, what can they get done? If you look at the country as a machine, and everybody's a working part, you have to consider fat people to be a busted bolt that's laying on the floor. You know, you pick it up and you put it up on the workshop bench, but you can't...
Fat people are not contributing to the society, is what you're saying?
Not to the extent that we need them to. You have already a generation of children who are worshipped as if they are almost demigods by their parents. And now, these Chinese have said to American parents, and also let them sleep late, I am not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but it does not surprise me that a country that is already making enormous strides economically has decided to paper this country with a so-called study saying that we should let our children sleep late and that'll help them lose weight. Well, I'll tell you what, Phil, if you believe that, why don't you pull the other one, see if there's bells on it.
What you're saying is you're not a conspiracy theorist. The Chinese are sending over some propaganda about letting kids sleep late. I think we're off the point here. I mean, the study is a viable study.
I don't think it's a viable study at all. I mean, the fact is that they're saying that if you let a kid sleep late, that's going to be good for his fat. Listen, the camp we run is a camp supported by parents who are sick of the lies being told about how these children are so worthy. They want these kids to be put through a tough, tough fat camp because they know fat people, like I said, they're like a broken bolt laying on the floor. They want their kids to be happy. To be happy, you've got to be skinny and to be in physical shape. Now, I can give you...
Well, as controversial, though, Vernon...
I want to give you some examples of what we do in the camp possibility for these children.
Yeah, I know, but just to follow up on what you're saying, you know, that the study has no validity. You intimated it has no validity because the Chinese conducted it, and maybe they're sending us propaganda so we won't work as hard, which sounds a little far out.
It may sound far out, but you don't deny it. You think the Chinese are going to tell us something? Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Chinese are going to go ahead and say, hey, here's something that'll help you? I don't think they will. I think we have to stay the course.
Tell me about what you do at your camp. What do you do with these kids? You're not letting them sleep late.
No, sir, we do not let them sleep late.
Tell me about it.
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is get a child to recognize that they are fat. We don't say heavy. We don't say overweight. We say that the kid is fat, and we reinforce that by utilizing some of the terms. They're not very nice, but we whip these kids into shape real fast. So we give a kid a button before they start camp, and on the button is their name, and that will be their name for the entire camp.
The name, not their real name.
This is their camp possibility name, yeah.
A name such as what?
Let me see some of these names we use. Porky, Fatty, Tubby, Bubble Ass, Ham Hawk, names like that.
Yeah, well, okay, so these are children. I mean, kids are really sensitive, Vernon.
Kids are sensitive, Phil, because they walk around with a big fat rear end on them. But when they become skinny and they become worthwhile again, then they have self-esteem like you wouldn't believe. But the first thing we have to do is we got to break down the fat, and the way you break down the fat is to break down the fat kid. And so we had a kid here last summer, Hamhock, who is now 175 pounds. He's 6'2". He's a tight end on the high school football team. This kid came to us. He was well over 250. And Hamhock, I get emails from Hamhock all the time. And
that was his camp name, huh?
He was Hamhock, yeah. And he says, Coach Dozier, please call me Hamhock. I like that. I got another email from Bubble Ass. This is a young girl who wanted to go to the prom. She didn't get invited to the prom. She was so fat, she was breaking out with pimples and all of this. And we got her down from around 198 pounds to 135 pounds. And Bubble Ass is one of our favorites because she's now a homecoming queen. Okay. And
does she allow you to call her Bubble Ass?
Say that again, Phil.
Does she want you to call her Bubble Ass?
I don't think she likes it, but we call her Bubble Ass because we tell her, you know, look, don't ever get a big head on you like you're some kind of a beauty queen. When we saw you first, when you came to us, you were Bubble Ass. And, you know, she doesn't like it, but that's the way it's going to be because I never want these kids to forget with the pathetic physical shape they were in, how disgusting they looked, how fat they were, and how worthless they were. And
it's you know what, Vernon, it sounds to me like you're going against every prescribed notion of how to deal with kids, which is to be as sensitive as you can.
Oh, you can. This sensitivity, Phil, is killing children by the bushel. We've got a holocaust among young people in this country caused by sensitive, sweet parents singing these, you know, I don't want to be political, but, you know, plucking out these Obama tunes on these stand-up pianos and wearing T-shirts and... We need kids to remember what and who they are. And if they were a ham hock or a bubble ass or Porky the Pig, forgive me for saying it, but that's what they were.
All right, Vernon Dozier on the line with us here as we talk about a study that says if you let kids sleep late on weekends, it will fight fat. Mr. Dozier disagrees. He runs Camp Possibility. It's a fat camp for young teens in which they actually hand out buttons at the beginning of camp that the kid wears. He's either Porky. What were the names?
Yeah, Porky.
Porky, Fatty, Tubby, Bubble Ass, Chubby, and Ham Hocks. 877-876-PHIL. This is what you... Is this tough love? Is that what they call that? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Maybe it's time to get really hard-ass with kids when it comes to their weight. I don't know. It's probably time to get hard-ass with adults when it comes to their weight. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, he of Camp Possibility, and we're talking with him about some of the things that he believes as a athletic counselor. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a second. You are a coach, a physical fitness trainer, and you have Camp Possibility, which is anything but some touchy-feely camp for fat kids. Now, we're looking at, and I say fat kids out of respect.
Well, I bet something else, Phil. I want adults and I want parents to get used to saying what their kid is. It's a fat kid. And I don't mean to demean the child, but they need to. We got to get back to square one. We bring kids to Camp Possibility.
What are some of the things you do to get them into shape?
We do all kinds of things. We've got Bill Tobin as a partner with our Camp Possibility. He runs a construction company. We've got the kids in the morning. We'll truck them over to one or two of the job sites. They're pulling sheet metal. They're carrying bricks. Carrying buckets of mortar. They're mixing buckets of mortar. We have them hauling their rebar from the trucks. We also operate a messenger service where we put the kids on bicycles. I'll tell you what, you hump yourself on a bicycle every day, you know, going over hills, and this kind of thing is going to get them into shape. I got them chopping wood for my home because we've got a new brick fireplace that my wife has, another brick fireplace going into the master bedroom. So we have that, and I've got them chopping wood. I got a crew of kids, five kids, chopping wood in the morning, going over and hauling cement. I mean, I'm telling you, they are learning to be men and women. They're not learning to be, you ever seen what they call a mama's boy, you know?
I understand that.
We are not developing some little boy that's going to go home to his mama and say, you know, where's the, whatever these kids are eating, the Hostess, you know, the donut and this kind of deal, or give me one of them, I want to have a Twinkie or something like that. We are raising kids to be men and women and not mama, you know, looking for their mama.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Vernon Dozier here about Camp Possibility. It's a, quote, fat camp for kids. Here is Marnie. Marnie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Dozier. And what can we do for you, ma'am?
I just wanted to comment to Mr. Dozier that just because a person is overweight does not make them worthless or useless. I've been overweight most of my life, but there's nothing that I have not done that I wanted to do. There's no job that I've ever wanted that I haven't gotten, and I have not been held back. And also, I am losing weight now. I've lost 65 pounds, but I'm not doing it because I felt worthless or I didn't have confidence. I'm doing it because of my health. I've never had diabetes or anything, and I don't want to, and that's why I'm doing it, and I think that's a better approach to children than calling them names and I hope I never have to send my children to his camp because.
Well, Mayla, yeah, are your children fat like you, or are they? I don't mean to say, I know you don't like the word fat, but I try to say what
I
it
don't
is.
Care. I don't care what you call me because I know that I'm a good person no matter what.
We need
you
to, well,
call me fat.
I'm not saying you're not good. I'm not saying you're not good. I'm not saying you're not good. I'm just saying that you're not really. You know, what are we supposed to, how are you helping out? You know, what are you doing?
What do you mean by that, Vernon?
Well,
I don't get that.
Here's a lady. She says she's never been held back from what she wants to do. See, notice how egotistical many of our overweight people are. I'm talking about how our country is benefiting from her.
How is our country
around
benefiting
there, you know?
From you? How is our country benefiting
I'm taking
from
your
you?
Children. I'm taking your children. Well, first of all, I'm taking your children. I'm working the fat off of them. And at the same time, we're getting construction sites going for the first time in 18 months. I've got a new brick fireplace going in. I've got these kids busting up wood.
Okay, and I'm teaching children. I'm teaching children to be educated, to go out and get jobs. That's helping people. You are ridiculous.
What kind of a job is that child going to get, ma'am, if he's a fat boy or what we call a ham hock, and he wants to be a fireman?
Is this
a joke?
Are you teaching
that boy?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. Is this a joke?
If you think that the health of our children, if you think the health of our children is a joke, then that's fine.
No, I think you're a joke because you're so.
I want to ask you a question. What do you teach the children that helps them get a job in this world if they're overweight?
First of all,
yeah, she doesn't have an answer for that.
I said confidence.
Teach them you can't have confidence if you're a lard ass.
Yes,
how do you
can.
Have confidence
I think
here?
This is a joke. I'm not even going to waste my time on this call.
If this is a joke, ma'am, tell me how you had confidence. Why'd you lose weight then?
for my health, because I don't want to have health problems in the future. That's why I lost weight, not because of anything. I'm an entrepreneur. I have always gotten jobs. I mean, there's nothing that has held me.
Well, what kind of job? Have you ever been a beauty queen?
Back.
Have you ever been a beauty queen? No. Have you ever been
I
a cop?
Am.
No.
Actually, I
have
am.
You ever been
well,
a...
I've been a model. I am a model. Actually, you can look at...
Oh, get out of here.
Me in it.
What, I want to see, Marnie. What magazine can we see you in?
Actually, Lifeway Christian Books.
Well, Christian models, they always use fat women because those are the ones that they've got.
Okay.
What is that supposed to mean? What does that mean?
No, this lady calls me a joke. Here's a woman who says that she doesn't like my approach to health, and yet she admits she's overweight and she's losing weight. Now, what kind of sense is she making?
Well, she's saying she's doing it for her health.
Exactly. So if she's doing it for her health, why didn't she do the same thing 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or however old she is? All of a sudden, it's dawning on her.
I'm not as old as you are. You're old.
Children don't need to wait until they're Marnie's age and wake up one day realizing they're going to have hepatitis or whatever she said she's got.
Diabetes.
I don't have anything. No, I said I've never had it. I do not
want
to get it.
You want your kids to wake up one morning and be as fat as you and say, oh, my God, my health is in jeopardy now. I better lose weight. I'm telling you right now I can take those fat asses and excuse me for
saying that. First of all, my kids are not fat.
Well, that's surprising.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. The way you talk to people is very challenging.
It has to be, Phil, because look at what we've got, a generation of parents who are egotistical, narcissistic. They believe that how dare you say that I'm fat? Well, it's fine. They can be fat if they want. They can die fat. They can go out of this world in a piano case, because you've seen the stories. You've seen people being cut out of homes. You've seen people going out to be buried on a flatbed truck. And that might be fine for that lady, but we have young people who don't want to be buried in a crate. They want to be buried in a coffin. They don't want to be taken to the cemetery on a railroad car. They want to be taken in a hearse. They don't want to have to walk sideways through a door to get into their place of work. They want to walk through like a normal person, you know, just like shoulder to shoulder. You know what I mean, right?
Yes, I know what you mean. So you think humiliation?
No, I didn't say humiliation. I said work the fat off the ass. And that's the first work the fat off the ass. Those five words.
877-876-PHIL. Back with Vernon Dozier from Camp Possibility on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about overweight kids. What do we really do with them? A new study says let them sleep late. He disagrees. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, we started this discussion tonight. We have Vernon Dozier on the line with us from Belmar Academy, talking about a study that was conducted by researchers in Hong Kong that found that children who get less sleep tended to be heavier, but among children who slept less than 8 hours a night, those who compensated for their weekday sleep deficit by sleeping late on weekends or holidays were significantly less likely to be overweight, and Mr. Dozier doesn't buy it. You think it's just more of this touchy-feely parenting, huh?
I really do, Phil. I have all the respect in the world for parents that want their children to succeed and to be, you know, the greatest people they want them to be, but they're not helping their children. I get results, and when we talk about a child, you have to let that kid know right away. Ham Hock, I told you about Ham Hock. And we called him Ham Hock, and he still wants to be called Ham Hock. I talked to him on the phone once a month. He's about, as I said, 6'2", rock solid, 185 pounds.
Now, you say he's playing football now?
He was playing football. He got into some trouble over an incident. He's right now he's in incarcerated. But I still talk to him. I know he's going to do well.
He's you're saying he's in jail?
Yes, sir, he is. He's in prison. But he got into some trouble with a couple of girls. Look, you know, I'm not saying that I'm here to make these guys. I'll tell you one thing about Ham Hock. He's not one. He didn't used to come into my office and say, I want to call my mama, you know, and he'd do that. My mommy. he don't want to call his mama no more. He calls me. All right, Brennan Dozier. So, and these kids like to be called their name from camp. Ham Hock. We had another little kid named Chubby Checker because he was a black kid and he was fat. And they're doing great. They're doing great.
Except for Ham Hock, he's in prison.
Not because he's fat. You know, I tell you what, if there was a prison for fat people, Ham Hock would be as free as a bird.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call right now here on, where are we going? Oh, line 8. And we have Rose. Rose, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Hi, Rose. Good. Thank you.
I cannot believe this man. I cannot even believe he's allowed to have a camp. He's the most prejudiced. He's psychotic, okay? He's abusive. I would not send my child to his camp if they paid me. His camp needs to be closed down. I cannot even believe how abusive this man is, okay?
What have I said that makes me psychotic? I happen to know what that
term
means.
Wait a minute. Fat people are worthless? Wait a minute. Fat people are worthless? What's wrong with you?
That's not psychotic. That's an opinion that's based on fact.
Oh, come
fat
on.
People, what? Yeah. Tell me about...
So tell me something. About, anorexic people
are
worthless?
Anorexic people are... Ma'am, we don't have an epidemic like we have of fat kids running around.
Oh, come
and
on.
Probably, you know, with these mothers who mother them. We're talking about, as you know, the United States government will tell you, we've got obese children, this has turned into an epidemic, and we've got to run
the
fat
off. Oh, I understand that, but there's a way it's...
Well, you don't understand that, because you want to mollycoddle them and love them and feed them more of them Twinkies or whatever you give them. I'm trying to get these fat... God.
What's wrong?
I'm losing my temper. I don't...
Well, I didn't lose it, honey, because you're
anorexics aren't... Anorexics are not worthless. No, they're at least attractive. When you look at it,
attractive?
Are you kidding me?
Anorexics?
Are you kidding me? So a chick 60 pounds is attractive? Okay, with a thing in her neck because she needs to. Come on. All her body functions closing down. That's attractive to you?
What? You
talking
that's
about? Attractive to you. A woman, 60 pounds.
You're talking about a skinny woman walking down the street? What man doesn't want to see that?
No, we're talking about women that are... No, I'm sorry, Rose. I didn't mean to interrupt, but we're talking about women that are so underweight, they're hospitalized. That's what she's talking about.
I don't believe in... No, I don't want anybody to get sick, but if I had a choice between some, you know, bubble ass and a some, you know, little skinny girl... I mean, I don't know what you guys are asking me. The problem with this is it's gotten way off the point. First of all, she calls me nuts, which I react. Did you call me nuts again?
Yeah, sure.
Wait a
did.
Minute. She said you were psychotic.
You're abusive. You're abusive and you're prejudiced. Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That fat
right
people
there.
Are worthless.
Where are my prejudice?
Fat people are worthless. What's not prejudice about that? Every
they
fat
don't
person
contribute
on the earth
anything.
Is worthless.
They don't contribute anything to moving this planet forward.
Who's,
I mean, if we could get them all together,
said,
maybe they could
rule. Right. So no fat people.
Name
me
one fat person.
Fat people.
I bet you I know what you want. You want your kid to call every weekend from Camp Possibility and go, Mama, I need to come home because they don't have Hostess cupcake, cupcake cups.
No, I want him to call me and tell him that the psycho is calling him fat ass Ham Hock and bubble ass and so on and so forth.
That's right. I told you about Ham Hock. He's doing great.
You said Ham Hock is in prison.
Yeah, he's pretty worthless right now, isn't he? Isn't he worthless now? He's thin, but he's worthless.
Hey, he's hitting the weights 2 hours a day. They let him out on the yard 2 hours a day.
What's he contributing? What is he contributing? Tell me. Tell me what he's contributing. Our tax money?
I'll tell you what.
Come on.
Guess what? They make license plates. Thank you.
Come on, man. Is that what you want a kid to lose his weight for? To make license plates?
This woman called up with an agenda. She wants to mollycoddle these kids to death so that they stay fat and worthless. And that's
fine. No, of course
I don't know of
not.
Any fat kid. I don't know of any fat man. I'm going to tell you a story. I know a guy over at CNN named Roland Martin. I don't know him personally. This guy is so fat, he walks into the office every day wearing pajama bottoms with a suit coat and a tie. Pajama bottoms.
Has a job,
now,
though, doesn't he? Has a job, huh? Can't be too worthless. He has a
you
job.
Call that, do you call that a job? You call that a job walking around in your pajamas?
I don't know.
Sorry for you.
Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner walks around in his pajamas.
Well, I ain't talking about a guy that gets shagged for a living. That's a whole different thing. I mean that a guy shows up wearing King of the Hill. If she's laughing at me, you know something.
Well, no, I thought the shag part was kind of funny.
I got an issue with women that laugh at me. And
I was laughing at the shag part.
My mother used to kiss me on the lips when she dropped me off at school in the morning.
Okay, what about it?
That's what these women want to do to our kids today, and I won't let it happen. And if I got to call them fat...
Well, this is just a way of going about things.
Yeah, Rose, thank you very much for your call. 877-877. It's a very good call, though, Rose. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. You sound like you're getting upset.
I get upset, Phil, with parents that don't realize that we're a runaway train. We're a runaway train. And if you want this train to be more of a runaway train, okay, go ahead. Move all your fat kids up to the front car. Move them all the way up to the engine room. Okay, because that'll give it more momentum going down the hill. If that's what you want this train to do, go off the track, plummet into a ravine and explode, then move all the fat kids up front, and it'll pick up an average of 30 to 40 miles per hour in an instant. Is that what they want? No, I don't think so. At Camp Possibility, we tell these kids, you're a fat ass today, you're a ham hock, a bubble butt, but you don't have to be tomorrow. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to work you. You're going to work construction, you're going to chop wood, work for my messenger service. I'm going to have you taking my car down to get it washed. I'm going to have you turtle wax it. I'm going to have you do some of my accounting for me. Just like in Shawshank Redemption. And I'll tell you something else. If I find out that any of you are getting on the phone secretly and calling your mommy, you know, because that's what they do.
What do you mean the mommy thing?
That's what they do, and I can't stand it. I want my mom. They cry. Okay, so you think I'm nuts, too.
No, I think that you're over the top, brother. That's what I think, over the top. 877-876-PHIL. Kelly in Louisville, you know, over the top?
You think I do everything 100%, Mr. Hendry.
Kelly in Louisville, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
You know, I called because I was actually interested in hearing this guy talk for just a second, but over these last couple of phone calls, about the only thing I'm wondering is just how useful this guy would be with my fat-ass, worthless foot shoved up his rump. I'm about 6 years old, dude.
You're on your fat ass.
I'm 220 pounds of solid rock. That's what I am. But here's
what
I'm
overweight?
Getting at.
Are you
overweight?
Why'd you say you had a fat leg or whatever? You said a fat foot.
I got a fat foot waiting for your ass, bud.
Well, maybe you want to get some weight off
that foot.
That's
exactly where everybody's foot belongs, is straight up your ass. You're a narcissistic ass. That's what you are, sir. You are a control freak. Let me tell you something. If I talk to my child the way you're talking about talking to your kids at camp, they'll take my child out of my home. Don't you understand
what
you're trying to get kids taken out of the house by being an idiot.
Sir, are you crazy? You can't have your kid taken from you because you call him bubble ass.
Are you insane?
It ain't going to happen.
Are you insane?
You can't have
you're insane.
You want your kids to weigh 600 pounds. You want your kid buried in a piano case. That's your business, okay? I'm trying to save kids from that.
If my kid dies and is buried in a piano case, that's her business. If that's the way she wants
her
to go,
business.
That's her business.
What about as a child? Don't you have anything to say about it?
About what?
About whether she whether she's fat as a kid. Can't you do something about that? Yeah, you can. You can send her to Camp Possibility.
There may be something I could do about it, but let me tell you something. There's no way I'd go about it the way you're doing it.
Ham hock took off the weight.
He's in prison, Vernon. Ham hock's in prison. And what are you calling him ham hock for? What's his name?
I'm not at liberty to give you his name.
The guy's incarcerated.
That's got nothing to do with us getting the weight off of his ass. That was a couple of girls who accused him of rape.
Okay, let me ask you something. I want to ask
you. Oh, my God.
Right here, if you don't mind.
Sure. Go ahead.
I spent 6 years in the Army, and my weight was never an issue for me, okay? My weight has never been an issue for me. Like I said, I'm 220. I'm rock solid. Now,
yeah, sure.
I'm in Afghanistan in 06. My fat-ass battle buddy, who shouldn't have been in the military because of his body index, pulled my ass out of the fire when I got shot. Now, you going to tell me that that person is worthless and doesn't deserve to live?
The way you're talking to me right now,
absolutely nothing to the country.
I have no idea. How do I know what he did was a good thing? How do I know what he did was a good thing? Maybe if you'd just gone ahead and gotten shot, I wouldn't have to talk to you right now.
What kind of a comment is that to make?
This guy's calling me all kinds of names. Now he's laughing, see? And
what do you mean? The guy just gave an example of a friend of his who saved his life. A man saved his life. Let's forget about...
No. He brought it up. He brought up this guy saving him. Some fat ass saved him, right? And he says, was he worthless? I said, yeah, because I got to talk to him now.
No, the man was saying that man, in the context of Kelly's life, saved Kelly even though he was fat. What if a fat guy saved you?
A fat guy will save me from eating what's left of the birthday cake, if that's what you're asking me.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
That's what fat people save us from. If you want to, you want to know what a fat
on the highway, bud. You get in a wreck out here on the highway. You wouldn't want the only person around to pull you out of that burning car is a fat person. You don't want them there, is that right?
Do you understand that if that fat man got near that fire, all of that fat would explode? And that makes it a grease fire.
Dude.
Why don't you?
Oh, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Tell me I'm wrong. Does that not make it a grease fire?
So you're saying a fat guy getting near the fire?
It's going to make. Listen to him laughing, see? His fat friend got killed for him, but he thinks it's funny.
His friend didn't get killed.
No, I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, my friend didn't get
killed. You know.
Thank goodness he didn't die.
I thought you said your friend got shot.
Let me tell you something.
I'm glad your friend's alive.
You are very laughable. In fact, everybody
deserves
to laugh at you because that's about the only thing you're worth is a good laugh.
Let me tell you something, sir. As long as you talk to your kids in a way that encourages them to swallow Big Macs whole, your kids are swallowing Big Macs whole because you encourage them to. That may be entertaining for you. I don't know. But you asked me a straight question.
What do you mean his kids are swallowing Big Macs whole?
I don't even think this guy taught his kids how to chew. I think they go ahead and they swallow that Big Mac down like a sea lion swallows a mackerel.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll bet you anything. If you're burning up in that car, and that big old hand comes out of that darkness and grabs hold of you, I bet you don't push him away.
No, I won't push him away. No, but when he explodes from the heat and the grease fire envelops both of us while we're winging our way to heaven or hell, I will look at him and say, thanks for nothing.
Oh
brother.
I'm telling you right now, that is the truth.
All right. All right, we got to take a. Thank you very much, sir. I got to take another phone call, Kelly. I appreciate your call tonight. Let's go over to Chris. Chris, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier, and we have to break after this. Go ahead.
Phil, man, this is the best I've ever heard.
You got people who are calling me up and abusing me.
No, man,
they're not abusing you.
Absurd, man. You just sound absurd. Like you
oh, really, man? Is that right, man?
Hammocks in jail because of you.
Hey, man, what's that?
I said, Hammock's in jail because of you. You see, you abused him when he was little.
This is great.
You know, all that did was bottle him inside.
You're telling me that I took weight off a ham hock and that forced him to rape those two girls.
Oh, yeah. My God. Is that what this kid did? I mean, no wonder that he's got rage going on. He's got violence going on inside of him.
Exactly.
And you guys.
You see, Phil?
And you guys.
Understand.
Hey, let me Phil doesn't understand anything other than what's the quickest route to McDonald's. And maybe you too. But I will. Hey, you guys, I take a fat ass like Ham Hock or Bubble Butt or Chubby Checker or any of the other, or Fats, or Double Fat, and Double Fat was huge. I got the weight off.
Wow, like all these fat names, man. I'm starting to believe you were fat and you used to get made fun of. That's what I believe.
You know what I'm going to call you? You know what I'm going to call you if you ever come to our camp? You know what I'm going to call you? I'm going to call you Enchilada. Cheese Enchilada.
You know what I'm going to call you?
Like, ain't you,
Mexican
or whatever you call it?
You know what I'm going to call you when I come to your camp? Camp counselor, because that's all you're going to be. A camp counselor. That's what you are. You're not no psychologist. You're a camp counselor.
A camp counselor.
Kids. Do your job.
I happen to be I happen to be one of the top-notch fat getter offers. I don't know what you call it. But
no, fat getter offer? You don't even know. Yeah, you don't even know what the term is.
You
know, you're running a camp like a professional, a fat getter offer.
It's a fat
that you get the fat. Is fugazi. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you're whipping out some.
I have no more time. I appreciate Chris, and thank you, Chris, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Dozier, I can only say I hope those children are not damaged further by you.
Are you putting me on? Ham Hock gets out in 6 months.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with the stories we couldn't get to on the world-famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to on a night that can't end soon enough.
Yeah, well, but look up Ham Hock.
Forget about Ham Hock, okay? He's out on the yard right now. The folks in Lantana, Florida think the Postal Service would have to be nuts to close their post office, and they're trying a cocoa nutty way to prove it. Lantana's post office is one of more than 350 being studied for closure, and residents have been mailing coconuts to Postmaster General John Potter along with requests that he spare their office. It costs about $4 to mail a coconut, and postal officials said they've received a few hundred of the tropical nuts, which are being donated to a local food bank. Officials had no comment Thursday on the future of the Lantana office. In Kuala Lumpur, Malaysian legislators in the poor conservative Muslim northeastern state of Kelantan should marry single mothers to help care for their children, according to a state representative. The state's Family and Health Committee chairwoman, Wan Ubadai Omar, said that legislators should be awarded prizes for increasing their quota of wives. What I mean by a quota is adding to the number of wives, said Ms. Ubadai, a female legislator, according to Thursday's Star newspaper. Polygamy is legal in Malaysia for Muslims, who account for 55% of the 28 million population. According to the Star, there are 16,500 single mothers under 60 years of age. In Evansville, Indiana, a woman reported to police that her soon-to-be ex-husband stole ground beef from her freezer in retaliation for her cutting off his cable. Officers, cable TV.
Oh, thank God.
Officers in Evansville Police Department were called to the scene of Jamie Brooks's Harriet Street apartment Wednesday night, according to an incident report. Brooks alleged the man, who was not identified by police, stole ground beef from her freezer. Brooks alleges that the ground beef was probably stolen as revenge to her cutting the cable lines that he had been pirating. Pretty good. No arrests were made in the whole thing. And finally, in Tehran, a worried Iranian airline pilot asked passengers to start praying after his plane was hit by a technical glitch on Thursday, highlighting once again the notorious record of Tehran's aircraft. The Azaman Airlines Boeing plane had taken off from Tehran Airport after a six-hour delay, but had to return following a technical fault. So the plane took off. They had the problem, and the pilot asked the passengers to pray. Now, that here in America, that might go over pretty good in the States, huh?
No, are you kidding?
Got to do it more often, man. The Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, good morning from the El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.